I was talking to a guy. It might have been it was one day last week, I guess. And I was talking to him about the burden of being a pastor. And he said, but it's not a burden, that's a blessing. I said, you don't understand. See, until you've been called into something, you don't understand the burden of it. Because then, no matter what you face, the burden is to proclaim the gospel when you're a pastor. That's the burden is for the people, so that your eyes of understanding might be enlightened, right? And it's hard for people to really understand the burden of a call. It's not that you can just walk away from the burden. The burden doesn't allow you to walk away. The burden arrests you. Yes. And it doesn't really give you the option. And we can say that we have an option to do it or not do it. But when you've been called and you've been arrested with the burden, there is no alternative. And ask me how I know. I've tried to sit, and God made me miserable, and I couldn't sit. So this is what we do as pastors for you. So do your pastors a favor and pray for them and not talk about them. Amen. Don't have them for lunch. Have them over for lunch. It's a big difference. You've got your Bibles this morning. Let's go to 1 Samuel chapter 16. We're going to talk about the least in you. The least in you. And I ask you before we started this morning, how many of you brought the least of you? How many of you actually decided that, you know what, I'm going to go and I'm going to talk to people, and I'm not just going to show them the good side, right? They're going to see all of me. Now, sometimes, women, it might be good to... Oh, I'm sorry. Men, it might be good some morning that you edge up and you put some smellies on so that you're well presented. I couldn't go to the women's side because my wife automatically give me the eye. So I'm just going to stop right there. 1 Samuel chapter 16. Are you ready? All right. 1 Samuel chapter 16, starting at verse 1. I'm just going to, if I can, I'm just going to read this text and then we'll talk about it. Now the Lord said to Samuel, How long will you mourn for Saul, seeing I have rejected him from reigning over Israel? Fill your horn with oil and go. I'm sending you to Jesse, the Bethlehemite, for I have provided myself a king among his sons. And Samuel said, how can I go? If Saul hears, he'll kill me. But the Lord said, take a heifer with you and say, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. Then invite Jesse to sacrifice, and I will show you what you shall do. You shall anoint for me the one I name to you. That's important. So Samuel did what the Lord said and went to Bethlehem, and the elders of the town trembled at his coming. People say, man, I wish I lived in Bible times. No, you don't. Because when a pastor walks in or whatever, y'all just disregard that. Y'all don't even think about it. Back in the day when a prophet come to town, you trembled. Because he was bringing the word of the Lord. And in most cases, he was bringing judgment. Yeah. Okay. So the people of the town trembled at his coming and said, do you come peacefully? You didn't come to hurt a brother, did you? Yeah. Right? We good? And he said, peaceably, I've come to sacrifice to the Lord. He said, sanctify yourselves and come with me to the sacrifice. Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. Boy, he consecrated them. He cleansed them and set them apart. I'm trying to go. Don't be mad at me when I try to consecrate you to worship God. Don't be mad at me when I try to help you get in line that we come to God in the manner in which we've been called, with clean hands and a pure heart. Don't get mad at me when I'm only trying to get you. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, Then he consecrated Jesse and his sons and invited them to the sacrifice. So it was when they came that he looked at Eliab and said, surely the Lord's anointed is before me. This was the first son. This was the eldest, the oldest. But the Lord said to Samuel, do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature. He must have been big, head and shoulders above the rest. A man's man. Surely this is God's. Do not look at his appearance or at his physical stature, because I have refused him. For the Lord does not see as a man sees, for man looks at the outward appearance, but the Lord looks at the heart. So Jesse called Abinadab and made him pass before Samuel the second. And he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Then Jesse made Shammah pass, and he said, neither has the Lord chosen this one. Thus Jesse made seven of his sons pass before Samuel. And Samuel said to Jesse, the Lord has not chosen these. And Samuel said to Jesse, are all the young men here? And he said, there remains yet the youngest. And there he is keeping the sheep. And Samuel said to Jesse, send and bring him, for we will not sit down till he comes here. So he sent and brought him in. Now, he was ruddy, with bright eyes, good looking. And the Lord said, arise, anoint him, for this is the one. Then Samuel took the horn of oil and anointed him in the midst of his brothers. And the Spirit of the Lord came upon David from that day forward. So Samuel arose and went to Ramah. Just a little background, a little backdrop. Before all this was happening, Israel had gotten to a place to where they had been living in this area, and all of their friends and their neighbors had kings. Yeah. They had someone that was ruling over them, and as they begin to mix and mingle with these, they begin saying, hey, I want a king. We want a king, just like, well, they've got one. That's right. We want a king. And the whole time God's going, no, you don't want a king. You don't want to go there. Men are going to hurt you. Men are going to abuse you. You don't want to go there. You do not want to get. I want a king. I want a king. I want a king. Hey, there's a principle here. If you want something bad enough from God, keep going. He might just release it. Don't pray for me but once. He wanted to be like everyone else. And God finally decided to give them someone. So Samuel is now called to go and anoint Saul. But what we misunderstood is Saul was anointed as the first king of Israel, when in fact the Septuagint, which is the Greek translation of the Hebrew Bible, actually said that he was anointed prince. of Israel. It's the difference. He was not a king, he was a prince. He wasn't really who he thought he was. And God knew what he was doing, because when he released Saul to go and have this war with the Amalekites, he's telling him, I want you to kill everything. And Saul found it in his own self, like you and I do. We decide what is right and what is wrong. And we go, surely God doesn't mean to kill everything. I mean, they've got some really good cattle. Surely he said, just kill everything that's of no use. Everything that you can't use back in Israel. Kill it all. Take the good stuff with you. Surely that's what he meant. And Saul saves them little fatty calves, spares the king, brings the king back as a prize. He was going to kill him there so everybody could see. And Samuel comes and says, what's up? This is the RDN translation. You just follow me. He said, hey, what's up? Done exactly what God told. Did you really? Did you? He says, so what is that bleeding in my ears? What is that bleating in my ears? Bleating in my ear. What is that I hear, Saul? Pastor says, hey, get your stuff together. Yep. Oh, Pastor, we've been doing so good. Man, we've been cleaning our stuff up. Really? What's that bleeding in my ear? Why did I see you at the Kroger store flipping off the bag boy? You know, you got to follow me. You have to follow. There are so many things that we do because we just go, well, nobody's really going to see me, or this is just only once, or I didn't really mean it. Yes, you did. I shouldn't have said that, but you did. Yeah. These are the things. These are that bleeding that's being heard. And Saul said, well, I just brought him. You know, we just go, you disobeyed God.
Yes. Come on.
This is where that disobedience, or the obedience is better than sacrifice.
Yes.
That's where that scripture comes into play here. So now here's Saul standing before Samuel, and Samuel tells him all of this, and they get into that little scuffle. Y'all remember the scuffle? And Saul reaches up and he tears the garment. I don't think this was one of those mean things and he just jerked it off and he's all about it. I don't think that was it. I think Samuel had said what Samuel had to say, and they knew then when the man of God spoke, that was the word, and we was going to hang on to it. It didn't matter. And when he turned to walk away, Saul instantly began to remember. Well, wait a minute. Then he turns back and says, surely as you've torn my garment, God has torn the kingdom from you. And then the Bible talks about Samuel going away and crying. Whew. God, if we could only have the heart. To cry over the demise of others instead of gossip about. See, that's why you're so tied into the news. The news doesn't give you anything good. The news gives you bad, and it's feeding your flesh, and you're just sitting back eating popcorn, loving it. If God would only give us that heart to cry over the demise of others. So here is Samuel. Samuel's crying out, and God finally says, dude, why are you still crying over the one I've rejected? Yeah. He said, get up, brush yourself off. I found another cat. I thought I'm still in the RDN. He said, I found another cat. He's out in the field. This dude plays the harp. He sings to me. He's got the heart like me. That is who I want. Now that brings us to the text. Get up, go anoint him. Now there's a difference here. He tells Samuel to pick up his horn and take the horn and go anoint David. See, he anointed Saul with a vial of oil, something that was handmade, something that was hand-presented, man-presented.
Yes, that's good.
Then he gave David, the horn of oil was raised over David's head. And some of these things you can read where it said that the oil stayed, and then when it was over David, the oil, well, the oil stayed. I'm still picturing in my mind, because Samuel had it in his mind, that's got to be him, man. And no oil coming out. Well, I know I filled it. That's where I'd be thinking. I'd be checking it. No, now there's oil in it. And it said the oil stayed. And when he got over David, the oil come out. The oil was then given by God, was released by God through God-made utensils. And that was the first king. All right. So we caught up. We're here. This is where we're at now. God's rejected Saul. Now Samuel's anointing David. Brings us to the house. Here's Jesse. The first one. This is, see, now, okay, this is how you're going to have to look at this text. I want you to place yourself in each one of these men that are passing before Samuel to be presented as the one. Because this is how you and I do this. The first one comes out. And the first one is, it's the biggest, it's the best of what you have. This is what you present to God to anoint. It's your calling. That's, oh God, you can use me there. That's my calling. I'm gifted in that area. That's, can I back up? Let me back up. Some of you are probably sitting in here this morning and you're weeping over something that God has rejected in your life. And you're still holding on to it. You're still holding on to something that God has deemed no good. And you find yourself wrapping your arms around it. And you're continually holding on to it and saying, I wish I would have. If only I would have. God might be telling you this morning, why do you continually weep over what I've rejected? He's wanting something out of you. And you're blocking him because you're holding on to something that he has no use for out of you. He's looking for something different. But you're still holding on. Some of you have gone out and you've appointed your own kings. See, you've hung around crowds that have certain things. And those certain things you're wanting for you. Well, they've got the bigger, they've got the better, they've got the prettier, they've got the best looking. And we begin to go and we find ourselves coveting. We begin making gods out of everything else around us. Because after all, it looks good on them.
Yeah.
Come on, women. Some of you buy clothes because other women look good in them.
They do.
Come on. I'm getting right in your vegetable soup right here. And I'm going to stir all the stuff that settled to the bottom yesterday. I'm bringing it right to the top. Yes, you do. Because when you get to the store, you try it on and you walk out and the first words out y'all's mouth. This don't look good at all. It's not. No. Y'all know I'm right. Look, okay, fine. I'll pick on me. Because I'm okay with it. I'm all right. I know. There's just some things I don't make look good. Some. Watch your mouth. There was a hat that I used to dream about. That little old squatty top hat. I loved that hat. Man, I was looking for a nice brown one. The leather, man, it just looked like it went Harley. It said Harley. It was the hat that you put on after you take the helmet off and mess up your hair. I don't have any, don't care. But I said, man, I love that hat. And every time I go to a Harley store, I grab that hat and I go put one on. And I walk in front of the mirror and I go, man, it just, daggone it, man. And I throw the hat back. And one day, your friend goes on a ride with you. Goes around the corner, comes back out around, and he got your hat on. It's mine. I'd already picked it out. I'd already seen it. It's my hat. And I just looked at him, and he'll tell you. I said, dude, I hate you right now. I said, you're making that hat work. So he bought it, and I ain't got it. So I'm just telling, look, I already know, I can tell you, because look, you just don't look good in it. It's not that don't look good. I don't want to hurt nobody else's feelings because they get mad at me. You'll get over it. You're fine. Because you're hot. Anyway, it doesn't matter, baby, anything you put on. But that's what we do. We begin looking at what other people have, and that's what we want. That becomes our attention. That becomes what we fall into. Now that is what my desire becomes. And if I do it long enough, God just might say, fine. Okay, women. You've been chasing that dude for like weeks. I know y'all impatient. Y'all women, you impatient. Boy, if y'all want something, you've been chasing him. This is the one. He fits the mold. And God's going, well, he don't return a text, so you still text him anyway. Y'all was going out on a date, but he called and canceled. So you rescheduled another date. He gave you a ring and it was a CZ. Y'all women better go to Finks, check them things out. Now, we're still after that guy. We still want that dude because he's tall, dark, and lonesome. He is the one. And God said, okay, fine. You know, you're not going to listen to me here. Here is your king. Here's your man. Here is your dude. 1 week later, man, you throwing stuff in the house. You mad. You don't care if he ever comes home from work. He eats burnt brown beans, leftover cornbread. You're not giving him the best of nothing. He'd have made you so mad you can see stars. But how you forgot when God intervened a couple of times And you kept going, no, but we want a king.
Yeah. Come on.
But I want him.
Yeah.
But I need it. And when we get it and life falls apart, we go and we blame, why did you let that happen?
That's good. That's right. Come on. Come on.
And we ask God why. This is what God says back to you. He says, I've consecrated you unto myself to be a holy nation, to be set apart strictly for my use in the kingdom. God tells Samuel, fill that horn up with oil, and I want you to go and anoint David. And I want you to go ahead and take care of what I need to take care of. David gets anointed. David goes back out in the field. David goes back to work, doing what he was doing, anointed. The Bible said that God was on him. But yet he decided back out in the field with him. So David's out there working and struggling. But anyway, Samuel, he's in Jesse's house. The first one comes by. This is the firstborn. The first son to pass. Samuel surely thought this was going to be the one. And the Lord said, uh-uh. Don't you go by the outward appearance. See, you need to stop chasing things with your eyes. God never sees the way we see. The first one that walks past Samuel, It's like the strongest point that we have. You think about it. What's the best that you have to offer God right now? And you know for a fact, this is what you're good at. You can do this. You don't even have to second guess it. You can do this. This is what you do. This is what you do every day. It's like your nature. You're good with it. Loving people, caring for people, helping people, financially supporting people, whatever it is, you're good at it and you've got the ability to do that. This is what we offer to God first. See, when we want to be used by God, that's what we say. We say, God, okay, use me, but all I want to do is play the bass. Because that's what I do good. Come on, y'all want me to walk to you individually? Y'all want me to stay in this corner, don't you? Just say, stay over there, Pastor. That's, I got you. That's what you want to do. You only want to offer up what's easy, what's comfortable, and what's within your control. And God said, well, wait a minute. If I use that, Miss Sarah, am I really getting the glory for it, or are you getting a big head?
Come on.
Am I really being able to be shown to other people that I am God because you are so naturally gifted? Just because they're worship leaders don't mean they're worshiping. Y'all better open your ears and listen to your preacher this morning. That's what we want to do, ain't it? Because it makes sense. I mean, that just makes sense. And some of us that walk in white garbs 7 days a week, y'all, the holier than thou's, y'all people. Well, I better quit, man. But that's what we do. God, use me, but only use me here. Don't take me outside of my comfort zone, not understanding that if God can remove you, he can do more with you.
Right.
Jesse passes by the next son, Abinadab. Father, to incite. It comes from two different words. Father, to incite. The free will offering. Now, this might not be my strong suit. This ain't what I'm glorified in. I used that exactly the way I intended to use that right there. This is not what I glorify in. Because that's what we do. Y'all need a shrimp in your life. This isn't our top priority. This isn't the best that we have to offer. But, however, it's been something that we can offer, and we can offer willingly, because maybe God's used it once or twice in your life and it worked out and you're okay with it. I mean, it's not my strong suit, but I can still lend a helping hand. Y'all ain't following me. All of y'all got kitchen cabinetry and dishes. Some of you got china. Right? You don't use it when we come over. You use the Tupperware. Or paper. Chinette. You got china. Boy, girl, you should open that door. You got china that sits in a case, and it goes bling, 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 bling when you walk by. I mean, it's just sparkling, looking pretty, and you ain't never once ever ate off of it. The closest thing you get to china at that house is chinette. It's the stiffer paper plates. The ones that can hold a load unless you're Meg. Ah, girl, we was here Friday night. I got to say it. Preach about it, preacher. She had to double up on a plate. And it's still bending over. I said, girl, you better use both hands and sit down. She walked, she gave the baby up so she could carry her plate. And the plate was rested on her forearms. Dude, she said, I'm just living out scripture. I'll have men give unto your bosom. Pressed down, shaking together, and running over. Preacher, you in the house. Stop. Stop. But we give that free will offering, that the second, it's the second best, basically. Yeah. And I'm not down in that you want to give God your best. You have to understand what I'm saying. It's not that I don't want you giving God your best. I'm trying to get you to understand that God can use more than what you're offering him. But because of your mentality and because of your self-glorification and how good it feels. Come on, y'all know how y'all get puffed up sometime when y'all done a thing. Harley guys are the worst. Y'all the worst. Those two. Soon as they do something new to the bike and it's jumping off, man, they going, check out my bike. Look what I do. And then he gets his feeling hurt. Yeah, I've done that today too. What? You got to be kidding me. But we offer, right? And that's okay. Listen, don't stop giving God your best. I want you to do that. Okay? I want you to give God your best. But I don't want it to stop there. Just let him use number two, because that fits in, and I've done that. And I'm okay if you want to make me do that. And God didn't choose either one. And Jesse grabbed Mr. Third Place and let him pass by. Shama, which means desolate or horrified. Not willing, but you will if you're made to reach down deep. This is the area where you don't really want to do it. You don't really want to do it, but you will if you're forced. You don't really want to pray for that person in public. But if the Holy Spirit is going, spinning your fish, you'll go, okay. Because you have found out from past experience, it's better just to go ahead and do it. Because if you don't, you go home and wish that you would have, right? Listen, y'all better listen to some wisdom. This ain't just all my wisdom. I'm taking it from some other people too. There's times that the Holy Spirit speaks to you and says, hey, I want you to go and do this. And you go, well, I don't want nobody to think. And God's going, you're stupid. I've already set this up. I need you to go and do this, Esther. And if you won't, I'll put somebody in your place. And when that happens, boy, you don't ever forget that, do you? And I'm going to promise you this. When he comes by the next time and says, I want you to go and do this. You're going, boy, you breaking down the house. He don't even get it all out of his mouth and you running. He going, no, the other way. You just running. But this is what we do. If I'm being forced to use that, okay, God, fine. I'll do it. I don't want to. But I will. Not because you're not dragging me, because most of us go kicking and screaming. All right, I lost all of you. Listen, how many of you get drugged kicking and screaming while you're doing it? The rest of you, you're liars. Because look, don't tell me you don't. Don't sit in the house of God and say, oh, no, God tell, no, you're lying. Because, see, what you don't understand is God will use people sometime to say, hey, can you do this? Y'all don't want to hear that. You don't want to hear that one. Because if God uses somebody else to go, hey, can you do this? And you go, I'm busy. And God's going, boy, if you'd have just went and done that, I had a blessing. Can you go take out the trash? Oh, I think Pastor Debbie's hollering for me. And you run to the back, and he said, okay. And then we asked the little kid, hey, will you take out that bag of trash? They say, yeah, I'll take it. And they grab it, and all the trash falls out the bag, and there's a $100 bill laying on the floor. Oh, see, I've stretched you beyond your imagination. See, what you have failed to realize is that we serve a God who is able. See, y'all don't want to hear none of that. Y'all, why is it y'all fight with that? Why do y'all struggle so much that God will bless your socks off if you will just obey him? But we kicking and screaming the whole time. We won't go. That's not what I do. Children's church, are you trying to make me commit suicide? Listen, I'm not condemning you. I'm trying to help you this morning. Amen. God is looking after the thing that he can be glorified in.
Amen. Yes.
What's it going to take? It ain't going to take your best, because you're going to get puffed up.
Yep.
It's going to take your least. In where you're weak. See, y'all, why don't y'all read the Bible? Doing good this morning. And then God denies that one too. Number three, he denies. He said, nope, not interested. May not be one of our strongest points, but we have used it, and it has been used. Pretty much this is what we're saying. This is all I'm willing to work with. Selah, I'm going to let you sit in it for a minute. I see some of your looks. This is all I'm willing to do. I'll serve in the church, Pastor, but I'll only... That's that shrimp that you hear. That little buzzing in your head, that's that shrimp. Bzzz. He's spinning your heart. That's going to stick to some of y'all. And Jesse passes the rest by. Pretty much this is all I got left. And it's kind of like that phrase that we use. Well, all I have left to do now is pray. That's all I can do now. All I can do now is pray. You've done everything you can do, and all I have left is to pray. This is what I consider the spirit of Jesse. It's a spirit of insufficiency. It's a spirit of not being willing to trust God. It's a spirit of not being willing to walk humble in your life. And the Bible says if you humble yourself, He'll raise you up. You raise yourself up, He go humble you. I don't know about you. I'd rather just humble myself because I'm going to be a little bit easier on me. But how many of us, the Holy Spirit walks into your house and says, hey, I want you to do a thing. And you run upstairs, you dig in your closet, and you start passing the things by Him. I'll do this because I can do this real well. He goes, I don't want that. Well, I can do this. This is almost second nature. I can do... I don't want that. Well, what about this one? I remember that one time, you remember that one time that you convinced me, you know, when I was dragging and clawing, fussing, complaining, and you got me through it, and then my socks was just blessed. I remember that one. You remember that one time? Here, you can have that. You take an inventory. Here, what about this one? I remember one time that, this time, this wasn't something that you used in me, but I seen you do this in my mom or my dad. And I remember that they said that was God. And he waits until you get to the bottom of the barrel. The very thing that you're just rolling your eyes at, before you even break, you put it in your pocket. And you walking out trying to steal, negotiating. And he said, hey, isn't there one thing left? Yeah. That's what I've been looking for. Amen. That's what I want. Can I use that? Isn't he polite? Girl, don't be doing that. Father, in Jesus' name, bless the house. Amen. Y'all go stop that nonsense. Charlie, all the pregnant women in the house sit in the back by that door. Y'all can't be doing that. I'm pretty sure she said... I thought for sure something didn't happen. Something didn't happen. But isn't that what we do, guys? Honestly. Isn't that what we hand over to God? Don't we just give God the best that we have to offer, and when he asks for something else, that he might be glorified in your life, you say, nah, I'm not cut out for that. God, if I, do you know what people are going to say? If they, see, God will talk to the sinner. Ask me how I know. He'll talk to the sinner and go, hey, just go and talk to somebody real quick. Yeah. Just, if you'll go over and talk to them, the things that you've been worried about, the things that's been on your mind, I'm going to use them to confirm my spirit in you. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to wake you up. Yeah. And I'm going to show you that what you have been struggling with, come on, it's easy for the Christian people, because y'all all about coming dumping your problems on people. It's the sinners that have the struggle, because the sinners don't want to be judged. You Christian people, you don't care if you're judged or not. Y'all don't care. And y'all just throw it out there, man. It's okay. But I'm just talking about the sinners, the ones that struggle with, well, what are they going to say if they see? I wonder how they're going to feel about me if they know. Can I tell you something? If you're sitting in here this morning struggling with that, there's probably somebody sitting inside you that professes to be a Christian that might be struggling with the same thing. But they just holier than thou, and they don't want to present that. They don't want to present that weakness to God. Come on, that's better than what you're putting out. We won't present that weakness. Now, I was talking to Miss Linda the other night, and she was talking about some of the things of waking up. I hope she doesn't mind, Charlie, but she's not here to defend herself. I love her, and this ain't meant to hurt her. She's just given me an opportunity to use that as an example. Right. Now, everybody go stop talking to me. I ain't never talking to Pastor again. I could have just said I was talking to a lady, couldn't I? But this is coming from Miss Linda. No, I have to say Miss Linda. Why? Because she has followed the Lord for so long. Because she loves the Lord so intently. Yes. And we begin talking, and she begins telling me about the condemnation, the bondage that she feels because she didn't do something. You can't do anything but have faith to please God.
Yes.
You can't go to church enough to get you in the front of the line.
That's right.
You can't get a meal pass by tithing more than the next person. There ain't nothing. You can't. Oh, there she is. I gotta be quiet. I'm sorry, Miss Linda, forgive me. Confess your sins one to another. I'll just use you as an example. I'm sorry. I'm sorry. See what happens? Play with fire, you get burnt. She's back. But this is how we live our lives, guys. And gals. Politically correct, bah humbug. This is how we live our lives. And listen, it's of no fault of our own. In some cases, because we've been taught, we've been shown, we've had things modeled before us, and we think that is correct. We think that is right. Miss Linda, we think that's the only way that God will love us, that is if we read his Bible every waking moment of our life. And I got news for you. And I told her, I said, if somebody would break it out and show me in the Bible where it was said that I needed to read the Bible every day, I might lend to that. Let me tell you what I have found in the Bible. David said, now this is the man after God's own heart. Now if you want to try to put somebody else on a pedestal above David, go ahead, do whatever you want to do. But I'm just telling you about David. He said, I meditate on the word both day and night. That he didn't say I read it. He said, I meditate. Because he said, paraphrase already in, I got it up here. I'm trying to get it down here. Most of y'all are living out your Christian walk with head knowledge, and you have no heart transformation. And you want to know why you struggle in this area and that area and why you have a problem with this and why you have a problem with that. Because you can't get it from your thick head. Come on. That's right. Some of you 11 inches away from a breakthrough. It's pretty close, ain't it? Well, your foot about 25 inches, but it... That's how we're that close to a breakthrough in our life, but because we choose not to meditate. Now, we'll do our daily devotions every day, but we won't think about it no more for the rest of the day. That's why I think crazy when you talk about the shrimp and the fish. I went, whoa. That's so fitting. Because we are so vain. We're worried about fixing up our outside. And we spend no time on the inside. Well, I want to tell you this morning that you can invite the Holy Spirit to do the inside while you deal on the outside. You put your makeup on, let Him work on your ugly heart. Let Him show you what you need to fix in your heart. Let Him show you what you need to walk away from, what you need to stop saying, what you need to stop participating in. Let Him show you these areas. And listen, don't just hear Him say it. Obey Him and walk out. That's transformation. Revelation without activation leaves you no transformation. But if you'll walk it out, I'm not telling you fake it till you make it. I'm telling you to obey God's Spirit when He gives you unction. Listen to Him. You're fearfully and wonderfully made. You're the head, you're not the tail. God didn't give you a spirit of fear. You're blessed going out. You're blessed coming in. Will we stop struggling with all this? But Pastor, I lack so much. No, you lack nothing. If you have salvation in your life, and you do, if you have identified with Christ. I didn't say walk to the altar and... If you've accepted Christ and all that He done, man, salvation is not the end of the day. Salvation is the morning. You walk your life out all day. You're going to walk out your Christian walk for the rest of your life. Some of you older people should have shouted right there. You're going to walk out salvation for the rest of your life. You're going to do wrong tomorrow, Miss Michelle. Michelle. Man, God loves you. He loves you more than you deserve. And Miss Dawn, we can pray 6 Tuesdays a month and He won't love us anymore. That's hard for some people to get right there. Boy, they think, well, what do you mean? It means the same thing by Facebook, by YouTube. It means the same thing that when He spoke to me one day and I was going after something hard, man. Can I say this without you getting twisted? I was so lusting for God. My desire for God was so hot and so burning inside of me at one point that I was going, God, I want more. So, and as I was beginning to ask for, I began giving him a bucket list. I did. You have not because you ask not. So I began giving him a bucket list. God, I want an anointing to heal people. I want the anointing that when I walk up to somebody and just say the name Jesus, that they're healed. Not that I be glorified. It was like the Jabez prayer. It wasn't for me. I don't care. See, I have found in times in my ministry where it's better for me to be up here and you to be down there with God, and I don't have nothing to do with it. I love seeing God just mess up your stuff. And I ain't got to say nothing to you. And God just works you up. But I'm sitting praying, God, I want anointing. I want a greater anointing. So what did I do? I began to add. Because that has to work, right? The fasting and the praying. Because most of y'all got that scripture all jacked up in your little precious mind. Y'all think demons only come out by prayer and fasting. Why? It ain't got nothing to do with that. Your prayer and fasting is all about your doubt. 100%, it's text. Y'all got time? I'll break it open. We can talk about it till about 5 o'clock. But that's what we've been fed. And we think that's the only way, Charlie, that we can cast out a demon. If we ain't been fasting and praying for months and lamenting and beating ourselves and wearing sackcloth and ashes on our forehead, that we can't do it. That's a lie straight from hell. I ain't doing it. It's the power that resides in me. But I'm going, God, I want the healing hand. Help me. Give me that anointing. And I'm fasting and praying, dude, and 15 days in. Then he go come. After 15 days, a salad and a berry. Every once in a while, a handful of nuts. And he said, son, it's not about what you do. Yes. It's about what I've done. Amen. For you. Yes. I ain't never been so happy to come off a fast. I said, well, glory, I might as well go eat meat. I'm not saying fast and praying is not good for you. Because it edifies you. It will sanctify you. Yes. See, you trying the flesh then. Because yes. Y'all be wanting them greasy chicken burgers and everything. Y'all want that stuff. Mm-hmm. Eat that stuff and grease dripping down your elbow. You do too. I want us to get to a place in our life that it's not about what we do, Miss Linda. It's about why we do what we do. You want a love relationship with God? Do it out of the love for Him. You think your husband treat you and open the doors up for you? She just smacked him in the back of the head. She said, why don't you open the door up for me? Same reason I don't open the door up for her. I don't want her getting too spoiled. I did at one time, and then I caught the fish.
You did too a couple weeks ago.
I did. It just all depends. Anyway, let's not get into that.
Joe said special occasion.
It's been special for about 9 months. But what I want us to do, man, is offer up everything that we have. And just for this purpose, offer your least up the most.
Yeah.
I mean, if you want God to rattle your cage and change your life, put your least on the altar. Yeah. Stop keeping it in your pocketbook when you come to the altar. Some of you stuffing it in your suit jackets and holding it to your wife. Ain't none of you got a suit jacket on. Y'all don't even know what a suit jacket is, do you? If I ever come in here dressed up, where everybody run? But it's just, I fear that we don't give God enough opportunity in our life. And again, listen, it's so that He be glorified. Because you, at the end of the day, if you give the least, and He does something with it, and He shakes a thing, you're going to know. Boy, that didn't have nothing to do with me. God, I don't know what you did. Can I meet you in the corner for a minute? And you're going over praying. And you're giving Him the glory for it. This all comes with saying, God, whatever. Just whatever. She sat my very first sermon. It was horrible, wasn't it? Look, I didn't want to preach, Dawn. I didn't have what it takes. And I know she don't like me telling that. But I'm just telling you, I do not have what it takes, with the exception of one thing. That's a will to say, okay, whatever you want. Y'all could be doing so much more. Y'all think because it's your top talent, that's your calling. Thank you, Holy Spirit. He brought me right back. That may not be your talent. That may not be your calling. It's just your talent. It's just your gifting. Oh, God gives gifts. This is going to challenge. God gives gifts without taking them back. That's why we're going to have people giving an account going, but God, didn't I cast out demons in your name? But God, did I not heal the sick in your name? See, y'all don't like to hear that. You got people out there that was graced with that gift. Stumbled over a spot to where that gift could be utilized. And then they went, whoa. Would you look a here, look a here. This is why we can't attract sinners to church anymore. Because we've abused the gift of God. And we want God to show up. And God ain't nowhere close. He's standing on the outside of your gate, peering in, going, I wish you would figure this thing out. So it's not always the thing that's easiest for us and the gifting that we offer to God that makes the world of difference in us, so that we can recognize God as a higher. Go home and take inventory. Dig in your closets, your heart. Man, I just saved y'all because your wives get home, start digging in closets. You're going to be moving stuff all day on a Sunday. She's going, I don't know why we got that. I don't need that either. Dig in the heart closet. Find out what it is that you hide the most. Come on, you. What you hide the most is what you struggle with the most. What do you struggle with? Offer that thing up to God. Listen, I'm not. This isn't just something that He wants to use out in the public eye to show you His sovereignty. This is stuff that God wants to do inside you to bring you to another level in Him. You can't take the next rung on the ladder with the baggage on your back. If you'll go, God, I'm going to make you uncomfortable. Hey, God, you know I struggle with pornography, would you? I mean, that's my weak spot. This is where I fail you the most. So I can't be tempted with gold jewelry or anything. You can't tempt me with that. It's not a desire. Y'all following me? The enemy will tempt you with what you desire. And he will tempt you in your softest, weakest moment. What is it that you struggle with? What are you dealing with this morning? Hey, what you dealing with? What you dealing with? What you dealing with? You didn't make it out. What you got going on? What's the problem? What's happening? Don't let it fall. See, we don't want to take account for it. See, y'all know I can make it. Never mind. What's the fight? I'm going to start throwing cough drops. What's the fight? What do you deal with every day? You don't want nobody to know about. Charlie, you served God for 100 years. But you still got something. Stop walking as if you're on clouds. Why don't you start admitting to your drop points, your low spots in the wall? Why don't you start giving it to God? Why don't you start letting Him take care of some of that stuff and help you get out of it? And when He says, this is what I'm talking about, don't wait till next Sunday, because that's your holy day. Do it then. If you got to go out back in the dirt, if you got to kneel beside a hay pile, if you got to pull your car over into a Kroger parking lot, deal with it. Let God be a part. See, God is screaming for you and I. Y'all thought the sermon was over. God is screaming for you and I so much. We won't give Him 2 minutes of our day. And I'm not talking about your religious acts. I'm talking about giving 2 minutes of your day and say, okay, God, search me, oh God. Create in me a clean heart. I'm talking about those moments. Stop being so caught up on reading 15 scripture and saying a 30-minute prayer and writing a 6-page journal and go before God and lay out prostrate and say, God, take this heart of mine, this heart of stone, and replace it with a heart of flesh. Work in me. Make me. Man, come on, you've tried it. You've tried it for so many years to fix you. How's that working for you? See, I don't know, but I can only speak for myself. Man, it leaves me empty. It leaves me depressed. It leaves me sick to my stomach when I know I can't fix something for me. But I'm a man. Just like you. Just like you. You, you. I'm a man just like all of you. I'll fight flesh too, just like you do. I'm just asking you to be a little different with your fight. Stop thinking you got control of it, men. Because you're going to lose. You need to turn that thing over. You're not guaranteed next week. Baby, just smile at me. Tell them, baby. Give them the amen. She just looked at me and smiled ear to ear. You're not guaranteed. Why do you keep thinking you've got it? Man, I would hate to think that there's one thing in my life that I constantly go to and constantly desire and constantly fall to temptation, and that is the very thing, because I didn't want to offer it up. I wanted Jesus as my Savior, not as my Lord. What a sad day that would be if we come and we were able to confront Jesus as Savior, but not Jesus as Lord. Women, wake up. Y'all not excluded in this. Y'all, I know y'all think y'all got it together. Anybody doubt that the women got to get ask their husbands? Because their husbands will tell them in a heartbeat, oh, they got it together. Talk to me after a while. Oh, man, they straight up and down. No, they ain't. They struggle with it just like, here you go. We're offline, right? Women actually struggle more with pornography than men. That is statistical. And y'all, I know y'all just... But you don't want pastor talking about nothing hot and heavy up in church because we got children. Your children might teach you a thing or two. I told y'all last week, man, they got more time in the world than they have in church. Yes. And you expect them to walk up. Come on, man. Who are you joking? Is that just to make you feel better? My daughter spent more time in church than any of your children. Well, maybe not yours. maybe not yours. But fell to the world. Look, this is life, man. Hey, if I started a revival today, would you stay until 5? He said, yeah, bye. Listen, we want to structure what's being taught at the pulpit with the boundaries of demon boards. Not so elders. The heavy hitters in the congregation. You know, the ones that's got a little change in their pocket going jing-a-ling-a-ling. I love that part. Because ain't none of it, man. If you don't get hired, you can't get by. If you don't get voted in, this is why it doesn't matter. I'll preach it. Dawn, I don't care. It might make Dennis mad at me, and you're going to have to pamper him on the way home, but it's going to be all good. God is looking to regenerate his church, unfortunately, I think. See, y'all think you've been regenerated, and God's going, you are falling to the ways of the world, and you're laying back. And you're cool with it. God's looking for a holy people. Ones that are willing to sacrifice their flesh. How many of you laid your flesh on the altar last week? Be honest with yourself. Don't raise your hand to me. Don't say nothing to me. Keep your head down. I wouldn't know you telling a lie or truth. But this week, it's going to come back.